I wonder if you have been the recipient of somebody's generosity. I wonder if you've been the recipient of somebody's generosity in as it means to time, whether somebody's given their time to you. I wondered if it's somebody who's given their generosity through their treasure. I wonder if people have given to you through their talent. They've distributed something to you, and through their generosity, you have benefited. My name's Keith Arkham. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And I, in this season of Thanksgiving, am thankful. I'm thankful for all of you here who are giving and are generous to this church. I think this church is something like over 120 years old. And it's through your giving that this church continues to be a pinnacle in the community. But I'm also thankful for somebody's generosity. I'm thankful for the generosity that was distributed to me through people's time. People I barely knew when I was younger, when I was a new follower of Jesus, who just poured their time into me, thinking that God loved me more than I loved myself. I'm thankful for people who have given their talent to me, distributed knowledge and talent into me so that I could be a person that is more devoted to following Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for people's treasure, literally people's financial giving toward me, towards my situation, towards my life. But most of all, I'm thankful for a lesson I received from George. George lived downstairs from where we lived when I was growing up in the north of England. We lived in an apartment and a flat, and downstairs, George lived by himself with his dog at first. And we'd see George walking to the shop every day to get the newspaper with his dog. And he'd tip his hat in the morning. He had a hat on like Max did back here, you know. He'd tip his hat in the morning. And George would always give the time of day and always say, how you doing? And my mother learned that George was poor. Literally, he had nothing. He had no family around. He had nothing but the shirt in his back. And my mother started to give him food at night. When we were growing up, we would have four plates in the kitchen ready to distribute between the four of us, mom, dad, me, and my brother. And then one night, there wasn't four plates, but there were five. And my brother and I would take turns taking the plate down for George. And we'd give it to George, and George would open the door, and he'd be really humble and say, thank you so much, thank you. And he'd take it, it had a silver covering over it, and he'd take it and he'd sit down with it. Sadly, George's dog Spot, you know, passed away, and we were really sad. And one night, George allowed me, as he was getting older and he was getting a little bit more frail, he was struggling with cancer, he let me into his house. He didn't normally let us into the house. And we walked into the house. There was like no carpet on the floor. It was just the bare floor. You need a carpet, and growing up in England. And he had one chair, one of those folding up tables, and a television. That's all he had. He says, thank you. Put that there. And I put the meal on this table, and I walked out. He had nothing. He was poor. Not only did he have nothing, he had no family around. And as he started to ebb away, my mother would take him to the hospital and be present for him in the hospital. He died, and mother made sure he had a good funeral and a good passing. We became his family. But that really wasn't the lesson that I learned about generosity. The lesson I learned about generosity came later when mother and I were sharing one day. She said that George came to our flat one night, to our apartment, and he came with a box in his hand. And he says to Gina, my mom, Gina, I want you to have this. She opened the box, and there was a load of money inside, £300, about $500. And mother said, I can't take that off you. I mean, you don't have anything. He says, Gina, I insist that you take this because you have saved my life. It was his entire life savings that he'd saved up over the years. And I learned a lot from generosity, an eternal message from that moment. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the person responsible for sharing the gospel around all of Greece and all of the Mediterranean and all the surrounding regions in that area, was teaching about being generous. In fact, he was writing a letter to his church in Corinth. And that's where we are today. We're in Corinthians, but the second letter of Corinthians in the New Testament. If you've got an app on your phone, open it right now. If you've got a real-time Bible, open it to 2 Corinthians. So there's two types of Corinthians. First letter, second letter. We're in the second letter of Corinthians in chapter 8. I'll give you some time to get there now. And if you're online, just open up another tab there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is writing from Macedonia to Corinth. Hear what Paul has to say. Now, I want you to know, dear brethren and sisters, what God in his kindness has done to the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Paul is in Macedonia, which is the north of Greece, and it's about 55 AD. It's about 55 years since we started recording time. It's about 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And Macedonia was a new church and a new group of Gentile believers, as was Corinth, which is down to the south, the most internationally populated area at the time. And he was in Macedonia, and he wanted Corinth, he was comparing the churches from Corinth to Macedonia. He wanted them to know what was going on in Macedonia. What was going on in Macedonia? They are being tested. They have been tested by many trials and tribulations. They've been tested by maybe an epidemic and maybe a pandemic. But they're being tested by many trials, says Paul. In fact, they've got so many troubles, and they are poor. They are poor, but, says Paul, but they are also filled with what? Abundant joy. Abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. So even though they're poor, even though they've been through times and troubles, pandemics and epidemics, they are what? Rich. They are joyful. Paul goes on to say, "For I can testify that they gave not only with what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to." So Paul can testify. He's there. He can see. He can see what they're given. And he's saying they are begging to be involved. That they were collecting for Jerusalem. They were collecting like a connection, if you like, to make sure that Jerusalem knew that they were there and they knew that they were there. And Paul was going around collecting, but he's seen more than that. He's seen more than just given to because Paul asked them to. He's seen a begging. They were begging to be involved, begging to give something more than themselves. These Macedonian Christians were those that were like just overjoyed to give. They were just so glad to be a part of the kingdom of God, the new kingdom of God that was on earth and in their region. And not only did they give themselves to the Lord, but they gave to those that were there as well. So they gave to the Lord and they shared with those who were there in their community. They were receptive to Paul and the people that were greeting them, checking on them and see how they were doing, see how the preachers were doing. Receptive. They were begging to be involved. Verse 6. So we've urged Titus who encouraged your giving in the first place to return to you and encourage you to finish the ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us. And I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. So Paul literally is comparing apples to apples. He's saying, this church is doing real well. The joy is overbounding. They are gracious in their giving. They're participating, even though they're poor. And Corinth, you need to step up your game, people. In fact, I love you. I love the church in Corinth, is saying Paul. I love it, but I want you to excel. I want you to excel in giving. I've been down there. I know you have great preachers and great teachers. I know you excel in that area. I know that you are excellent with your knowledge. You know all about that. You're enthusiastic in the way that you preach and teach. And your love for us is also evident. So, Macedonia has something else. Corinth, you could say that the Corinth had excellence in Christian development. You could say that Corinth had a continuous focus on the future. You could say that Corinth was definitely had a commitment to missions. They were definitely passionate and participating in their church, but they lacked one thing. What was it? Open-hearted generosity. In the last service, they all said it. So you guys need to up it a little. Right, so they lacked it in one area. What was it? Open-hearted generosity. And if open-hearted generosity was a ladder, it might look like this. This is from Nelson Searcy's book, by the way, The Giving Ladder. Imagine where Macedonia would be and Corinth or Palm Harbor or yourself were given. Maybe you've given to something before, you've given to the church, or maybe you've stepped on the first step of the ladder, and you've stepped here, and somebody has said to you, maybe a preacher or a teacher, or somebody said that you really should give to your church, because if you don't, God's going to be on your back right away. You're going to be real careful. He's going to strike a lightning right at you right away. You've heard of some bad preacher saying, not from this preacher, some other bad preacher. You've heard him say, oh, you should give. You should give, and you're like, oh, okay, I'll give. Or maybe you're like a friend of mine, John, and in my first church, and I was visiting his wife one time, and she was dying. And on the way out, John says to me, oh, Keith, come here, I got something for you. And he gave me his check like he always did. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can't forget that. I gotta make sure I get God off my back. I can't stiff arm God. And this kind of giving is giving because you're in fear. Giving out of fear. Oh, I gotta give. Maybe you're on this step. Maybe Corinth was on this step. Macedonia was on this step. We're going to get to that one. Maybe you're on the next step. Maybe you've been given because you think you should. Maybe there's somebody in your life that's taught you about giving that, and you felt like that you always should give. Maybe you know the teaching of Jesus. You know that you should tithe, and you remember when Jesus spoke in Matthew 23, verse 23, when he was rebuking the Pharisees, and he said to them, "You lot, you tithe on your mint and your cumin. You tithe 10% on your mint and your cumin, but you neglect the greater thing. You neglect justice and mercy, and you're tithing on these little things. In fact, you swallow a gnat, you drain out the gnat, but you swallow the camel." And this kind of giving is giving out of duty. This kind of giving, oh, I must do that. I must give that. Jesus said that, okay, I got to do it. I should do that. And maybe you've been giving like this all your life, and you think, oh, I got that out of the way. Maybe on the next step, maybe Corinth is on the next step. You've given, you've tied to your church, you've tied to your organization. Heck, you believe in an organization because you see your dollars at work. You see a resultant and a person has said, look, this is what we're going to do with your money. We're going to create this great big place and you guys are going to be blessed. and you give to your alma mater, you give to an organization, you give to your college, and you say, oh, I see what my money's doing. I'm giving to that person. But this is given to a vision. And we have a vision here at Palm Harbor, of course. The vision here at Palm Harbor is to... I'll say it again. The vision here at Palm Harbor is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know that because you, maybe you couldn't see me up here on the ladder, maybe. But anyway, we have a vision here to give. And part of that vision has five values: open-hearted generosity, a commitment to further on excellence in Christian development. We have a continuous focus on the future. We have a commitment to missions. And we're passionate in our participation. Amen? I'll wake you guys up this morning. Maybe I should stand on the top step. Good grief. I don't think I'm going to go up there. But the problem with this vision is that it's dependent on one person. It's dependent on a visionary person. Now, I'm going to fall off this ladder a minute. I'll fall over. Maybe die. And maybe there's a pastor in the house. Could make sure you could do my funeral. I'll get hit on the road. I'm belcher out here. But it's dependent on one person. What happens when the visionary goes? See, the best place to be, I'm not going all the way to the top. The best place to be is to be in a place where you can give and where generous living is generous giving. I'll say it the other way around. Generous giving gives you generous living. See, the Macedonians knew this so well. Even though they were poor, they were giving out of what they'd received. They knew what the best way to give is. And they knew because they were generous that they were living and giving with joy. Giving like this gives us so much joy. It's an abundant life. It's a way to live your life so that you know that Jesus is going to bless you. You know that God is going to be able to do it. By the way, my wife and I have moved. We've been tithing and giving to a vision for a while. No matter what church you're in, we're definitely doing it here. But we're kind of in between vision and joy, and we're trying to give back to other things. And we're having so much joy giving to our children and students that were in our ministries back in England. And it's such a joy to give here. You gotta help me back down now. Maybe you've given out a vision before. Maybe this is a place where you've given. Maybe you've given out of duty. Maybe you've been tithing for a long time. Maybe you feel like, you got that figured out. But it's definitely not a good place to live in fear, to give out of fear. Oh, I gotta get God off my back. None of these are a commandment. None of these are definite ways. In fact, Paul, going back to the scripture, he says, I am not commanding you, this is verse 9, I am not commanded you, 8, to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. It's not a command. This is not for definite. He says, I'm asking if you are eager. And that word there is prothymia. Prothymia is eagerness and willingness and a absolute passion and a readiness to see God at work. He says, I want to see if you are ready. I want to see if you are willing. I want to see if you are eager to see God at work through your finances. He says, I want to test it. I want to test it like the Macedonians. He says, you know the generous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could come to make you rich. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lamb of Judah, the King of the whole world, who was in the beginning, is now, and will be forevermore, came to this earth and became nothing, died on the death machine of the day so that you and I could be rich. Amen? He became poor, so we became rich. Like George, who's now, I'm going to posthumously name him St. George, by the way. St. George was poor, but because of his actions and because of the way he treated my mother, I became rich. I understood what it meant for sacrifice, and he taught me so much more than just about giving monetarily. He taught me about living in joy. Paul goes on to say, here is the advice I'm going to give you. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now, you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness, there's that word there, Promethea, let the eagerness, the Prometheanness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Something must have happened in Corinth. The spiritual temperature of the church had changed. Maybe they'd gone through some sort of trial. Maybe they'd gone through some sort of epidemic. Maybe they'd gone through a pandemic. But something was depreciating the church. Something was depreciating the spiritual wellness, the spiritual health of the church. Maybe there was a leadership transition over the last 2 years. Maybe they were lacking in zeal. Paul said, Hey, look at Macedonia. They had experienced a joy, and they're connected to the same Lord Jesus Christ that you and I are. Have an eagerness. You started a year ago. You're a young church. And Palm Harbor is not a young church. It's over 120 years old. But we're going through a refresh. We're going through a reboot. We're looking at other ways to glorify God. We're looking to be eagerly and passionately and involved in the church. Amen? Do you want to be eagerly involved in the church? Do you want to see God bless Palm Harbor and the surrounding area? Verse 13 kind of wraps it up for us to understand how to give. Paul wraps it up with a little bow and he says, of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I'll say it again. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. He's saying, give. So that you will receive joy. Don't give out of fear. Don't give out of duty. Don't give just to the vision, but give so that you might have joy. And so today's challenge, today's question is really simple. Do you want the same kind of joy as Macedonia? Do you want to see the joy of the Lord come here at Palm Harbor? And the challenge is simple. Give. Give out of what you have to your church. Give as much as you can. And don't give out of fear. Don't give out of duty. Don't give because I just told you to. Give out of joy. Give so that you might have joy of being participating in the kingdom of God in Palm Harbor. And there's different ways to give at Palm Harbor. We say it every week. I'm going to put the slide up for you so you know. Some of you have been giving here at Palm Harbor through epidemics, through pandemics, especially through the last 2 years. And I'm so thankful that you have kept this church functioning as a functioning body of believers. Some of you have given online. Thank you so much. Some of you have continued to give with a check and the old-fashioned way. I don't care what is the most convenient way to give. And we have some ways to give. You can give here in the plates if you did that. Thank you. You can give online. You can just click give as you're watching there. And you can text to 727-866-GIVE. And of course, you can write in your little books that have checks in them, whatever one of those is. Yeah, we'd love for you to do that. Give. Give so that you might know joy. Because when we have generous giving, we have generous living. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for your provision for this church over the years. Thank you, Lord, so much for the way you have embraced people who have open-hearted generosity. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you provided for this church and these people here that are gathered here today. We pray, Lord God. We ask, we beg, like they did in Macedonia. We beg that you would speak to us. We beg that you would speak to us through our finances. We beg, Lord God, that you would come to us in a mighty new way today. But speak to us, Lord, that we might know your joy. It's in the name of Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.